rights code, our municipal code, where we are including veteran status and housing status as protected classes.
And I know we've done this. I don't want to say we've beaten it to death, but when did we determine that veterans should be in this? And the exact opposite question would be, why did it take so long? Can you help shed some background on that?
Well, I don't have specifics on it, but I would have to gather that a lot of it comes from the Human Rights Commission itself, who is engaged with issues of, in the community on human rights, and they have probably have seen cases come forward where veterans have been denied services.
Really? So,
yeah, most likely. I mean, if you think about it, some veterans are pretty challenged people.
Well, that is true, and
because of what they've been through. So it's a difficult thing, and the Human Rights Commission and its director Barbara McKinney want to make it right. So we had a good discussion last Wednesday, and full support from the council. We had a good presentation from Byron Bengert, who is the on the Human Rights Commission and has been for a long time. And so we learned a lot, and I think we're going to go forward as a 9-0 do pass recommendation. So I think that'll become part of our
human rubber stamp it
ordinance. Yes.
Good. Well, it should be, because you're in a generation and Keith's in a generation where more people saw active duty or were forced into that line of work. This generation has no idea what sacrifice your country has to do, and they might be upset that their leaders are pushing people into some places perhaps they feel they shouldn't be pushed into, but no one's had a deal with that. I don't want to say a commonality, but a lot of people, the military was a big deal.
That's right.
And that's why we're not speaking German or Russian or Japanese right now. And I think even when they're sent to places, perhaps Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, they don't choose where to go. They're told where to go, and they keep us free, and they should be taken care of differently. So good job, council, getting that right.
Yeah, that's what we're working towards. So.
Well, and if you have any brushback on that, I'd love to know who.
Tim, you have several.
I don't think I'll tell you.
You're good.
Tim, in addition,
we did have public come out and speak to the issue, and that's always encouraging too. So there are people who see what's going on. There are people who are directly affected, and they do come out and talk. So we did have three or four people speak last Wednesday, and I hope they come back this week. So it's good to see public come to council meetings. You know, we don't always have that happen. So it's good to see that happen.
We're speaking with Tim Mayer, who is a member of the Bloomington City Council. And Tim, in addition to the other things, you've got some first readings tomorrow.
Yeah, and first readings means that is the first time the public will be notified on that, and they will include an appropriation. And this is an important one. We have found some money in our city budget, $15,000, which actually comes from the 2014 Jack Hopkins Social Service Fund. There were monies left in that account.
How is that possible?
Well, it isn't possible because it goes back to the general fund. But we in 2014 we did not allocate the entire amount of money. We actually put some money aside.
Okay.
And so what has to happen then is that the council approaches the mayor and says, you know, can we please retrieve that $15,000 from the general fund for social service work? And so that money will go for maintaining what has formerly been known as Martha's House homeless shelter. That money will be used along with money that has been allocated from the county council, Bloomington Township and Perry Township, to keep the doors open through December 31 of 2015. So, because as many people know, that organization collapsed, and the Perry Township has stepped in and is running it on a day-to-day basis, and the projected money that we need to get that far is what we're working towards. So that's one thing that'll be one first reading, $15,000 appropriation. And then we will have a planned unit development, which is out on Sarah Road, to authorize that and then to vacate a public parcel in the 2B Tech Park, which is up around 11.
What was the Sarah Road one again?
Rogers. Sarah Road is a planned unit development.
Oh, on the corner there. Yeah.
Well, it's near the medical office, the Premier Health.
Okay.
No, it's
on the east side.
That is correct. There's a new daycare center going in there. There's the Premier Health has their offices there. I believe there's a real estate office there. And behind those, to the east of Sarah Road, on the east side of Sarah Road, behind those properties, there's a property that the developer wants to build affordable housing for senior citizens.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What's the right-of-way thing, Tim?
The right-of-way is to vacate an alley, part of an alley in the Tech Park, the parcel of land in the Tech Park that is on the west side of Rogers and is bounded by 11th and
on
the north.
That's over there by City Hall.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And it's just
the alley. So it's what it does, and it's a very short segment of alley. But what it does is it combines the entire piece of property. And what's going to happen on that particular portion is housing, and they're looking forward to trying to get affordable housing, at least on a portion of that property. So
now,
that's, I think, going to be the first part of the Tech Park development
that
will happen.
When will the council be signing off on the budget and getting that all finalized?
Oh, I told you last week, and I don't have that in front
okay.
of me, but it will be
October.
Later.
They're going to tweak some things and come back to you a little bit?
It's the last...
last meeting of the month.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last meeting of September.
Yeah, 26th, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, 23rd, I think.
23rd, okay.
Wednesday, yeah.
Well, 30th is Wednesday. I don't know.
Right there.
It's late in the month. It keeps throwing you curveballs. That's all right.
Well, that will actually be as I recall, that will be our committee meeting where we discuss it once again, and then the following week in October, we will do the approval of the budget.
And nothing out of the ordinary is going to jump out of that at this juncture?
Not from my observation that, I thought our budget hearings went well. The council was supportive of the proposal coming forward. It's pretty much a pretty flat budget. There was very little, increases in any of the areas. 2% for non-union employees pay raise, and that's really about it.
Tim, let me ask you a question. We see the city, and we see the library, and we see the schools on all this big box and the reassessments and all of this stuff. Is the city affected by any of that?
Oh, most definitely.
Then what about your budget and things like that? Because
how do you plan for that if it doesn't go your way?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's
that's why you get paid the big bucks, right, buddy?
Because your budget's based on some income.
That's the discussion, and that's why we have a good controller to look after those things.
Okay.
So,
to plan for impending doom.
It's a little unknown. It's
big unknown.
The first one, has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
So we, definitely keeping an eye on that to see what the fiscal impacts will be, and it sounds like they will be pretty steep.
Mm-hmm.
So it just raises the bar and the burden for the taxpayer is what it does.
Are you guys getting in this plastic bag? What's going on here? Where are you on that?
You're the council. Where are we as a council?
Yeah.
Well, where the council is. I'll just back up. We have
please do. Thank
citizens.
You.
Group of citizens who came forward and want to do something about plastic bags. And what they're talking about specifically are the bags that they put the groceries in when you check out at the supermarket. Not the bags that they put the fish in the meat department, not the bags you put your plums in when you go to the produce section.
Right.
That proposal was given to the city council, and at this point in time, our city council staff, our attorney and his staff are working their way through the ordinance to see what we can do and what we can't do. So that's kind of where we are, and
So you're looking at the legality first before anything is...
Most definitely.
Yeah, you have to.
Just don't go charging in.
As Custer said, okay, follow me.
Yeah.
In conversations with other council members, I think people want to see a very reasoned approach going forward and see if it can work and how it can work.
Well, it's also really simple. When the guy asks you to store paper or plastic, you just say paper, or you bring your own.
Right.
You can make a difference by yourself. You don't need Tim Mayer's help. You know what I do? I take those. You know, if you ever been to Kroger, they give you if you get six bottles of wine, they give you that little handy sack. Well, I just take those back with me and fill those up.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
Well, because you can still recycle the wine bottles.
Right. You know, we have cloth bags, and you know we leave them in the car maybe 2% of the time.
So. Right. That's the other problem. They're not helped. Yeah. So I think.
I mean, once you develop the habit, it works.
Exactly right. Or if they just tell you have to use paper all the time, I don't think anybody would say, well, I'm never going back. This is ridiculous.
Right. And I think.
I don't think it has to be a law. I just think the grocery store could say, you know what? Here you go. And when tomatoes are $5 for two of them, you know why.
But my bread doesn't get bent at a right angle as much in a paper bag as it does in that plastic bag.
Put it underneath the bag of charcoal to flatten it out.
You know, I think it's Marsh. O'Malley used to do it, and so I'm sure Marsh does it.
Yeah, any place can do it if they want to.
If you bring your own bag, they give you a nickel credit on your on your receipt. So a nickel for every bag that you bring.
And if you do that 10 times, you can make a phone call on the payphone if you can find one.
There you go. Hey, this incentive to...
There is. Yeah. You know what? You can just do good. You don't have to have an incentive. You can just be a good person.
Well,
you know, what's that old thing about character? It's what you do when no one's looking. Just do it. It's not hard. Don't need to waste the council's poor time on that. You guys have other busy things to do, like where you're going to come up with all this money when Best Buy, Lowe's, CVS, and everybody else says, well, we're not paying that tax rate. That's important things.
Well.
That's stuff that's really going to make a difference. So be a good person in general.
Did you say shortfall?
Yeah. Rainy day fund?
That's
better
right.
Hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
Better hope we don't get 27 inches of snow in January next year.
That's right. We just won't plow in front of those.
We'll have to all move into those empty box stores, right? Tim, great job.
We just won't plow around the big box stores.
That'll teach them. We'll push all the snow into their parking
lot. That's right.
There you go.
Because
we got nothing in there that anybody'd want to buy. Oh, my goodness. Hey, great job as always. We appreciate the humor
and the
good information. That's a very powerful combination.
Have a good Labor Day.
No, have a great Labor Day, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday on the 8th.
Sounds great.
All right, don't melt.